Welcome back to Via the Source, where you can get news about the entire NFL and, of course, the Miami Dolphins. Fins up, here's Steven, your host.
What's up, guys? Today's date is Wednesday, November 28th. I'm Steven Masso, and as always, you are listening to Via the Source. In today's episode, I'm going to be going over my recap of the games around the NFL, all of Week 12. If you want to hear my more in-depth recap and my takeaways from the Miami Dolphins game against the Indianapolis Colts, that was in the episode before that, so you can check that out there. But this is going to be going over the Week 12 recap, and then some other news around the NFL that I would like to discuss, and then some potential waiver wire ads, guys that you should be adding in your league, and for some reason they're still available in a ton of ESPN fantasy leagues, so these are guys you got to go out there and get right now. So let's start reviewing the games. Just to touch on the Dolphins and the Colts game, I'm not going to go too in-depth, but the Colts won 27-24. This was a game that was defined by the ending. It was, you know, back and forth. The Dolphins actually had a 10-point lead. They ended up blowing the lead, and then it came down to two different views on each team's respective quarterback. Adam Gase and the Dolphins ended up not trusting Ryan Tannehill on a 3rd-and-10 situation, backed up on their own 10-yard line, tie game in the fourth quarter. They elected to run the ball. Andrew Luck got the ball back, and as you expected, he drove down the field, and they were able to kick the game-winning field goal, ended up being Colts 27 to the Dolphins 24. Now, we head over to the next game, and that is the Bengals against the Browns. The Browns, from the get-go, just dominated this game. Andy Dalton ended up getting hurt. He is being placed on IR. He is gone for the season. It's believed to be a tendon that was hurt in his finger, but what a game it was from Baker Mayfield. He ended up going 19 for 26, 258 yards, and 4 touchdowns in this one. This was another productive day from Nick Chubb from a fantasy standpoint, but he averaged only 3 yards a carry. Joe Mixon continues to have a huge role in this offense. I will say the Cincinnati Bengals are looking pretty bad right now. Jeff Driscoll has taken over the quarterback duties with Andy Dalton, but if there's any type of positive right now is that AJ Green is likely to return. And that will definitely help their offense. Things will seem more like how they used to for Cincinnati, and I would give them more of a chance to win despite their quarterback being lost just because AJ Green's returning. But this was a great game all around from the Cleveland Browns. They played good defensively. Nick Chubb was getting the ball a ton of times, 28 carries. David Njoku had his best game, 5 catches for 63 yards. And then Baker Mayfield is truly arriving. I heard the comments he made about Hugh Jackson, as Hugh Jackson's now coaching the Cincinnati Bengals. Honestly, I think Baker's comments are being taken out of context. He said that's a guy on the other side of the field that they play twice a year. He doesn't like it. So I don't see any problem with him saying he doesn't like it. He is not bashing him. He is not saying, it is normal for someone to say they don't like someone else to move to a team they play twice a year. That is a normal thing. And I understand, you know, Hugh Jackson was fired. I'm not saying that Hugh Jackson should not have done that, but it is a very normal thing to say that he doesn't like that move. It's normal. It's his opinion. He's entitled to it. I honestly thought the whole thing was blown out of proportion. So we move on to the next game, and that was between the Jacksonville Jaguars and the Buffalo Bills. This was a game that the Bills ended up winning 24-21. Punches were thrown by the end of it. Leonard Fournette ended up getting a 1-game suspension by the end. And Leonard Fournette in this game was actually having quite a day. 18 carries, 95 yards, and 2 touchdowns on the ground. But it was the Bills' offense who ended up shocking a lot of people, and mostly Josh Allen. You look at Josh Allen's stat line in this, 160 yards, 1 touchdown passing, but then you look at what he did on the ground, which is kind of surprising. Most people don't really expect him to have such a game on the ground. He ended up finishing 13 carries for 99 yards and a touchdown on the ground. He ended up being the leading rusher in this entire game with his 99 yards. LeSean McCoy only had 46. So should we expect these type of outings from Josh Allen every single week? And I say no, because he is a rookie and he is playing like a normal rookie would. I do not expect him to have this marvelous season. I do not expect him to have a Dak Prescott season or do what Baker Mayfield's doing, and that's all right. He did whatever it took to win, and that's enough for me. I don't expect him to run that much ever again, but he did what it took to win, and I applaud him for that. It was a good performance. Now we move on to the next game, and that's the New England Patriots against the New York Jets. The Patriots won 27-13 in a game that was dominated by the Patriots. It was one of those games where the rushing was there, and that's all they really needed. Gronk returned in this game. He had a touchdown, 56 yards receiving. Julian Edelman was the lead receiver. He had 84 yards, but the main focus right now for the New England Patriots was their rushing attack. Sony Michel, monster day, 21 carries, 133 yards, and a touchdown. They were able to lock down the Jets. Josh McCown threw 45 times, only 276 yards. The Jets couldn't get anything going on the ground, whereas the Patriots were exactly the opposite. And another interesting thing to note is that Rex Burkhead has been taken off the IR. How will this affect the Patriots running game? Because I'll tell you what, this is the hardest to predict backfield from a fantasy football perspective. They got James White, they got Sony Michel. That was as easy as it's been to predict. But now you throw Rex Burkhead in the mix. I expect Burkhead to steal some carries from Michel, possibly take some passes from James White. This makes the whole New England backfield a little bit more confusing. It makes the whole backfield have a little less appeal to me, and that's from a guy who owns Sony Michel in a bunch of leagues. And we move on to the next game, and that is the game between the New York Giants and the Philadelphia Eagles. The Eagles took this win 25-22, and I really feel bad for the Giants. They're in these close games all the time. They're one of those teams like the Falcons who I think are better than their record suggests. Same thing goes with the Vikings, that they have all this talent, but it's just not coming together, and now they kind of slipped into this thing. I think the Giants are better than their record suggests, but they just have not been able to put it together. Eli Manning looked better. He went 26 for 37, 297 yards, a touchdown. He also had a pick. But Saquon Barkley, man, what an athlete this guy is. What he is able to do is absolutely ridiculous. He is everything that was expected of him. He finished the game with 142 total yards, two touchdowns. It was a huge game from him. Odell Beckham as well was able to take advantage of that depleted secondary that the Eagles got, five catches for 85 yards. And then you look at the other side of the field. Carson Wentz had a solid day. He had 236 yards passing and a touchdown. And then Josh Adams continues to dominate this lead role. That's something I thought was going to happen. I'm really proud of that take. He had 22 carries, 84 yards, and a touchdown. He continues to rise. And their lead receiver in this one was none other than Zach Ertz with 91 yards and a touchdown. So it was a nice bounce back performance from the Philadelphia Eagles, who have been slipping as of late. That was a much needed win in this one. So we move on to the next game, and that is the 49ers versus the Buccaneers. This one is not hard to predict at all. The Buccaneers, who I predicted to win this game, ended up winning this game. Jameis Winston, though, should be the talk of this game because he had quite an effective performance. He finished 29 for 38, 312 yards, two touchdowns. And I will say, it is very easy to do that when you have Mike Evans as one of your receivers. He finished the game six catches for 116 yards. We go to the other side of the ball. I am not a believer in Nick Mullins. That is not a hot take. That is, you know, kind of the consensus thing. But what I will say is that the San Francisco running back, Matt Breida, is looking like a stud. 14 carries, 106 yards, and another 34 through the air. So that is a pretty good performance from him. And this is a team that had Jerick McKinnon, who they just picked up, and he got hurt early on. So that is going to be a very dynamic backfield if both of these two are brought back. You include George Kittle in there. Jimmy Garoppolo, who I'm not super hyped on, that is enough for him to be effective. I think the future does look bright for the 49ers. It's a shame all the injuries that happened so early on, but the future does look bright here for San Francisco. Now we move on to the game between the Seattle Seahawks and the Carolina Panthers. This was probably my favorite game of the week. The Seahawks ended up winning 30-27. It was an incredible game to watch. Russell Wilson had a 300-yard game, which is rare. He had the longest streak among active starting quarterbacks without a 300-yard game. The next one in that line, if you're curious, is Ryan Tannehill. So Russell Wilson broke that streak. He had 339 yards, two touchdowns. It was a great outing from him. He was helped a lot by some of his receivers. Tyler Lockett had 107 yards receiving, and David Moore with an incredible clutch catch for a touchdown. It was amazing. It was incredible to watch. He finished the game, 4 catches for 103 yards, a touchdown. And then you go to the other side of the ball, and the Panthers run an offense that I thought was very similar to what the Seahawks run. Both teams want to ground and pound. Both teams don't want to have to throw for over 300 yards. They run through their running backs, and they are not going to hide it. Well, the Panthers did this, but man, did they do it effectively in this game. Christian McCaffrey, 125 yards rushing and a touchdown, and then you flip it to his receiving. He adds another 112 yards receiving in this game and a touchdown. What a huge outing from Christian McCaffrey. Another thing I like to see from the Panthers side is that they're finally involving one of their deadliest weapons in DJ Moore week in and week out. Pro Football Focus had DJ Moore ranked as the top rookie in terms of performance on a week-to-week basis, and now the Carolina Panthers are finally starting to use him. He had 8 catches, 91 yards in this one. I hope this is a trend that continues because I am a huge DJ Moore fan. I said I loved his upside. I said if there was any guy in this draft that I thought had that Odell superstar potential in his rookie year, it would be DJ Moore. So I love to see him get touches. I think he is explosive and fun to watch. That was my positive to take away for the Panthers. Now we move on to the game between the Oakland Raiders and the Baltimore Ravens. Man, I am never, ever going to bet on the Raiders. I'm just going to say that. I had the Ravens winning this one, but man, I just can't believe it. This was a guy, Derek Carr, who was MVP caliber before his ankle injury, and then all of a sudden, not even he seems to be a functional quarterback. And he was the guy that I was like, okay, the system's broken. The players around him are all gone. So maybe he's just in a bad situation. But even at this point, I don't even think he looks impressive. And there's some doubt surrounding him as well. So Derek Carr, first things first, had a pretty terrible performance, 16 for 34, 194 yards, and a touchdown. And then you go to the other side of the ball, and the Baltimore Ravens started Lamar Jackson, who ends up being 2-0 after this one. The Ravens won 34-17. So Lamar Jackson, 178 yards passing, but it was another great game for him on the ground. He had 71 yards rushing and a touchdown in this one. So I am a huge fan of what Lamar Jackson is doing. I do not think that he is a guy who could get this team into the playoffs. I'm not expecting too much of him in his rookie season. He needs to be polished. His passing right now is still a weak point. It is still a concern. When he goes up against a real defense, they could expose him. But what I will say, he brings this excitement to a Ravens team that hasn't had excitement offensively in a long time. They haven't had an explosive receiver in a while. Joe Flacco is not a guy that anyone likes to root for, and their running backs are Alex Collins, Kenneth Dixon, Buck Allen. There's just been no star power offensively for this Ravens team. So seeing Lamar Jackson and him bringing at least a feeling of excitement is something that I like to see. It made it very fun to watch as well. This was a game I just love watching Lamar Jackson, as simple as that. Another guy to take note, fantasy perspective, think about this guy, Gus Edwards, 23 carries, 118 yards. That run-pass option that the Ravens are implementing, it's obvious what they're going to do. He is going to get the ball a lot because they don't want Lamar Jackson to get hit that many times. So keep an eye on him. He is a guy that I think will have some fantasy upside for the rest of the year. Now we move on to the next game, and that is the Arizona Cardinals against the Los Angeles Chargers. And what if I told you that the Cardinals had a 10-0 lead at one point? That is ridiculous. The Chargers would go on to score 45 unanswered points to win the game by a score of 45-10, despite the game starting off 10-0 Arizona Cardinals. So Josh Rosen, it's been a rough go of him. Him and Josh Allen are having pretty tough rookie years, but I will say they don't have the weapons and the offensive system right now that I think that Baker Mayfield has or that Lamar Jackson has. I just think that right now it's a very bad situation for the Arizona Cardinals. So Josh Rosen finishes game 12 for 19, 105 yards passing, a touchdown, and also a pick. David Johnson did not have a big game like how he did before, 17 carries for 63 yards. We go to the other side of the ball. Phillip Rivers, 3 touchdowns, 28 for 29. He actually broke the record for the most consecutive passes in a single game. Applaud him for that. It was a great performance. It really, truly did look way too easy for him. Melvin Gordon continues to have a massive role. 2 touchdowns, 61 yards. Fantasy beast right there. And then you look at Keenan Allen. Keenan Allen, one of my favorite receivers in the league, the top route runner. I cannot say this enough. 7 catches for 72 yards and a touchdown for him. And then Austin Eckler. The Chargers love to pass to their running back. Danny Woodhead really took advantage of that role. If you remember Brandon Oliver as well a few years back, they love to throw to their running backs. Austin Eckler had a huge role in this one. 10 catches for 68 yards. It's too late to go out and get him now, but keep that in mind in the future. As long as Phillip Rivers is the quarterback, they are going to be throwing to these running backs heavily. So always be looking for that number two running back in the Los Angeles Chargers system. So we move on to the next game, and that is the Steelers versus the Broncos. The Broncos ended up winning 24-17. This was a game where Ben Roethlisberger threw the ball a lot, 41 for 56, 462 yards, a touchdown, and 2 picks. But wait, one of those picks came on the final drive with an opportunity to tie the game. He threw a pick on, I think it was the 2-yard line, to a defensive tackle. I am not pleased with what I'm seeing from Ben Roethlisberger. This team has an abundance of weapons offensively, but man, he threw the ball 56 times in this one. And I just don't like what I'm seeing from him. I don't like the morale he brings, his leadership. I'm really just questioning whether Ben Roethlisberger is the best thing for this team right now. And then Juju Smith-Schuster had 13 catches for 189 yards, a huge 90-yard touchdown, 97-yard touchdown in this one. So that kind of skews his stats a little bit. But man, it was a huge game from Juju. You go to the other side of the ball, another great performance by Philip Lindsay, 14 carries, 110 yards, and a touchdown. And then Emmanuel Sanders continues to perform, definitely outperforming his ADP in terms of fantasy. 7 catches, 86 yards, a touchdown. He continues to be the favorite target of Case Keenum. Now, we go on to the game between the Packers and the Vikings. This one went as I expected. The Vikings won 24-17. Aaron Rodgers was not really able to get anything going. 17 for 28, 198 yards passing, and a touchdown. Aaron Jones had another solid outing, but it was not a huge one like the game he had against Miami. Devontae Adams continues to perform. It seems like he catches a touchdown every single week. 5 catches, 69 yards, and a touchdown for him. But it was the other side about what I loved in this game, and that was that I thought Kirk Cousins was going to have a bounce back game. Everyone's been questioning him. They've been doubting him. The team shouldn't have given him the money. That's what they're saying. But man, in the beginning of this season, Kirk Cousins was throwing some of the most beautiful passes I have seen this season. He truly was, and I knew that he was going to bounce back. He did so in this game, 29 for 38, 342, 3 touchdowns. It was a great performance from him, and if you hear that, you already know who he's looking at from a receiving standpoint. It's Adam Thielen, 125 yards and a touchdown for him, and the number 2, Stephon Diggs, 77 yards and a touchdown for him. It was a great game for the Vikings. I love what I'm seeing from Case Keenum. Once the defense starts clicking, they are going to look great. Dalvin Cook is a guy who could explode any single game. Kirk Cousins, I think, is underrated. You know, people keep doubting him, but I'm saying that watch what he does. He throws some beautiful passes when he gets in that rhythm, and then the receiving core is just deadly in Minnesota. Watch out for that team. Now we move on to the next game, and that is the one between the Houston Texans and the Tennessee Titans. It was the Monday night matchup. The Texans ended up winning this game 34-17, and to start it off, I have a friend who's a huge Texans fan, and he told me after the game, man, I think this is the best Texans team that there's ever been. And honestly, it is right now, because they have never had a quarterback like Deshaun Watson. All respect to Andre Johnson, but I don't think they've ever had a receiver like DeAndre Hopkins. And then Lamar Miller, when he's able to perform like this, I don't expect him to every single week. If he's able to deliver half of what he did today, then this team could be a force in the playoffs. Lamar Miller rather, finished his game, 12 carries, 162 yards. Of course, 97 of them came on a huge touchdown run, but Lamar Miller, he looked explosive. He looked back to what he was before. That was great to see. DeAndre Hopkins, 74 yards receiving. Demaryius Thomas, I'm not a huge believer in him. I think Will Fuller was a much better asset for this team, but he is at least a body there, someone who is better than the alternatives. He had 38 yards receiving. Keke Coutee wasn't heavily involved. He is dealing with a hamstring injury that's off and on, but I think if he's healthy, he ends up having a larger target share than Demaryius Thomas heading forward. We look at the other side of the ball. Now, if you look at Marcus Mariota's stats, he went 22 for 23, 303 yards and 2 touchdowns. You would think, wow, that is a tremendous game for him. But they were just unable to move the ball for a lot of this game. He connected on a big pass to Jonnu Smith for 61 yards and a touchdown on that one. That looked good. Corey Davis, again, another huge game for him. He had 96 yards and a touchdown. He has one of the highest target shares in the entire NFL, so if he's somehow available in your league still, definitely get him. And then the running game, as how it's been all season. I was very excited about this Tennessee running, this backfield, but it's just been a huge disappointment. They cannot get anything going, and I don't care, you know, who's your quarterback. I don't care what the situation is. When your running game looks this bad, there's just no way you're going to win the game, and it's as simple as that. So that is the recap for the Week 12 games. I would love to hear what you guys think about that. You know, feel free to share your comments, you know, like, subscribe. It would mean a lot. Now, we go on to the next topic, and this next topic is more serious. I know people don't like to hear too much about politics, but it is something that needs to be discussed in the NFL, and that is Reuben Foster. Reuben Foster was immediately claimed off of waivers by the Washington Redskins. He was a guy who's been arrested 3 times in 2018. He was released by the 49ers after being arrested for domestic abuse, but yet the Washington Redskins picked him up immediately off of waivers, which is mind-blowing to me. That is mind-blowing because, one, the NFL strictly stands against domestic violence. This is something they had a whole ad campaign. This should not be happening. It's a horrible look. It is classless. It's something that should not be happening. And then on top of that, you have the Washington Redskins, a team who lost their starting quarterback, and they elected to bring in Tom Savage instead of Colin Kaepernick. At this point, it's ridiculous. Kaepernick did a nonviolent act. Whether you agree with what he did or not, whether you were offended or not, I'm not taking a side on his stance, but something is a fact, and the fact is that what he did was a nonviolent, peaceful protest. Whether you agree or not, that's what he did. And yet he cannot find a job in this league, yet a guy who has been arrested 3 times and for domestic violence found a job immediately. He was claimed immediately off of waivers. That says something that is very, very horrible right now about this league. That cannot be permitted. And there's just no way to argue against it at that point. Because there's this point, and then the fact that Nathan Peterman is still in this league, yet Kaepernick cannot find a job. That is, I don't care how much of a distraction you are, a person who is protesting the same way that Kenny Stills, the same way that Eric Reed are, it is not more of a distraction than having someone who is arrested for domestic abuse. And if you believe so, then you are pushing something that fits your narrative, because I do not think so. So that is something that I thought needed to be discussed. I would love to hear your opinion on that. You know, again, I know I may come across as a little angry on that, but I'm open to discussion. I will, you know, will not get offended. That's just my opinion. And I would love to hear all different sides. I would love to be enlightened if you feel otherwise, but, and then, you know, if you feel the same way, then, you know, I would love to discuss it with you as well. So that was just something that I just needed to touch on, because it actually truly did bother me when I first heard that news. Now, we move on to the waiver wire ads for week 13. Here are my must ads for this week. The first one is Lamar Jackson. I had him as my must add last week, but, you know, not a lot of people did it. He is 49% owned, so he is still under 50. Adding Lamar Jackson realistically should have been done 2 weeks ago, when many advocated for him to be rostered, myself included. Everyone expected him to rack up a ton of yards on the ground, and that would keep his floor relatively high, just because it's guaranteed that he's going to be getting those yards every single game on the ground. But I don't think many expected his carries to be at such a high number. He has 37 carries through 2 games, 37. So what appeals to me just as much from a fantasy perspective are his instincts, because when he's in the red zone, it seems like his first instinct is to run the ball, and more often than not, he does have a real shot to run it in, or he will at least get stopped at the goal line. So sure, he played against the Bengals and the Raiders. They're 2 of the worst defenses in the NFL, but look at his schedule. The Falcons, the Chiefs, and the Bucks, all of them are pretty bad defenses. He needs to be rostered in all leagues. Now, the next player I have is His teammate, Gus Edwards, the running back for the Ravens, he is owned in 31% of ESPN fantasy leagues. And I'm going to make a reference to the paragraph above this one, because I said Lamar Jackson, his first instinct is to run the ball, and more often than not, he has a real shot to run it in, or he will get stopped near the goal line. Jackson has a wonderful ability to preserve his body, but it also prevents him from finishing off some key runs. So in comes in Gus Edwards, whose job becomes much easier because of that. Two back-to-back games with over 100 yards is enough to warrant a look, especially with the RPO being such a focus in this Ravens offense. Take a look at Gus Edwards. He is owned in 31% of leagues. And the next one we have is Josh Reynolds, the wide receiver for the Rams, and he is my must-add at the wide receiver position. Hot take: Cooper Kupp's role in LA was massive. Now, I'm kidding, of course. That's not a hot take, but his role was indeed huge. It was massive. Kupp was lost for the year with a season-ending knee injury, but he had also missed two games during the regular season, and during that time, Reynolds saw the field, caught three passes for two touchdowns against the Packers. So then Kupp went down with this recent injury, and Reynolds again sees six catches for 80 yards and another touchdown. And then you take into account that in the Chiefs game, he had a touchdown that was reversed as well. So yes, that was an outlandish scoring game, one that you cannot bet on ever happening again, but Goff already appears to trust Reynolds and his huge 6'3" frame, and that frame of him alone makes him more of an appealing red zone threat than Brandon Cooks. And this team is going to be in the red zone a lot. If teams figure out that Gurley is going to get the ball every single time in the red zone, they figure out a way to stop it, they're going to have to look somewhere else. That's going to be Robert Woods, and that's going to be Josh Reynolds. So take a look at Reynolds. There's a big chance that he's still available in your league. And then the last one I have is Tre'Quan Smith. Not rostering Brandon Cooks in your league would be absolutely crazy, right? And not rostering Stephon Diggs would also be as equally crazy, correct? And what about not rostering Sammy Watkins? It is pretty crazy not to own any of those players if they are available. They are all the number two receiver in what are very high octane passing offenses. Yet the Saints, who are arguably the most efficient passing team, their wide receiver two, Tre'Quan Smith, he is not owned in every league. Now, forget for a second what kind of talent he possesses. Just his role alone on this team is enough to make him worthy of being picked up. Now, you add on top that he is also a very solid asset. He is also very talented. He becomes a must-add. So to wrap up this waiver wire edition, the guys you will have to look for: Lamar Jackson, he's a must-add, especially if you are not confident in your quarterback or you don't have two quarterbacks. Get Lamar Jackson right now. Gus Edwards is a very solid guy. I wouldn't trust him every week, but he might be an appealing flex every now and then. Josh Reynolds, he very well could be a flex from this point to the end of the season. That's how highly I think of Josh Reynolds. Then we have Tre'Quan Smith, and his ceiling is massive. Michael Thomas gets a lot of attention. That's going to open up more for Tre'Quan Smith. The offense for the Saints looks great. There is potential for him. He is coming off a huge outing, so take a look there as well. And that is how I'm going to wrap up this episode, guys. Let me know what you think. As always, you can follow me on Twitter at ShadySteven, at Via The Source, and you can like me on Facebook too. I have a page at Via The Source as well. Until next time, guys, I really appreciate all the views. It truly does mean a lot. The comments, everything, it keeps me going. It really does. So until next time, guys, I'm Steven Masso, and this was Via The Source.